I want to share a message today by basically answering two questions. First question is, why should we be thankful to God? And the second question is, how do we say thank you to God? And I want to begin by just sharing a psalm with you, Psalm 18. I want to read it first. I'll read it through. Psalm 18. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help from his temple. He heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God but besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David, and to all his descendants forever. Can we say amen to that? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word today. And may those who have ears to hear, Lord, just dial down anything we got going on today, but let's focus in on you. We're in your presence. We're gathered together in your presence, that you would just speak to us. Your servants are listening. Lord, that we could receive all that you have during this moment together that you've given us. And I pray that in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, our Lord. Amen. I want you to picture this scene in your mind. An old man walking down a Florida beach. The sun is setting like a huge orange ball on the distant horizon. The ocean waves are gently slapping the soft wind sand, white sand. The smell of salt water is in the air. The beach is nearly empty. There's no sun to entice the sunbathers, not enough light for the fishermen. So aside from a few joggers and strollers, this old guy is standing alone. And as he walks down the beach in his bony hand is carrying a bucket. It's a bucket of shrimp. But the shrimp is not for him and it's not for the fish. It's for the seagulls. He carries the bucket to an isolated pier cast in gold by the setting sun. He walks slowly to the end of the pier. It's Friday night and the time has come for his weekly ritual. He stands and he waits. And just a few seconds, the sky becomes a mass of dancing dots. The evening silence gives way to loud sounds of screeching of birds. Seagulls are everywhere. They fill the sky, they cover the pier. You see, they're on a journey to meet this old man. And for almost an hour, this bushy-browed, shoulder-bent old man stands on the pier, surrounded by birds of the sea, until the bucket of shrimp is completely gone. And even the food, though the food is gone, his feathered friends still linger. They linger as if they are attracted to more than just food. They land on his hat, they walk on the pier, and they all share this moment together. Now, if you can just see that scene, and I want you now just to kind of file it away just for a few moments, because I'm going to bring it up in just a little bit. Like I said, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. We'll be celebrating with family and friends and having great meals, hopefully, and some will be watching football and so on. And, you know, those are good things. They are part of Thanksgiving, but they are not the heart of Thanksgiving. The heart of Thanksgiving goes back much further than the pilgrims when they landed in America. See, Thanksgiving is just not an American holiday. Thanksgiving is an occasion that God's people have been celebrating for thousands of years. Check out this verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34 tells us, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever." Psalm 75, 1 says, "We thank you, O God. We give thanks because you are near." Give thanks to the Lord. And with that, I want to answer those two questions I just mentioned. Why should we thank God? And how do we give thanks to God? And then we're going to gear it around this song that David made in Psalm 18 that I read just earlier. So let's begin with why should we be thankful to God? Now, if we here spent any time in the Old Testament, we'd know that David has a lot of enemies that he was dealing with. He spent many years in hiding, and one of his greatest memories was King Saul. So David wrote Psalm 18 after God had delivered him from his enemies, and especially from the hands of Saul. And the psalm actually is repeated almost word for word in 2 Samuel 22. So listen, because of what God was and what he had done for him, David breaks out into this song of praise. And as David praises God, he gives us several reasons why we should be thankful to God. And I want to look at those this morning. First, I believe we should be thankful to God because God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. If you look at Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2, he uses the term when we think of the word my, means it's a personal thing for him. He uses that term my 8 times in just 2 verses. He says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." See, David is emphasizing he has a personal relationship with God, and he is thankful for that. Listen to David. God was not some far-off God in the sky with a long white beard that he had no idea who he was and he was up in the clouds somewhere. He was a God who was hard to please. He really didn't know him. On the contrary, David is having a personal understanding of who God is, a personal relationship with God. And the only reason David had that relationship was because God, in his grace, had given him the opportunity to know him. Guys, Yeshua has given us the opportunity to have a relationship with God and make that relationship even deeper. Remember that in the days of the Old Testament, God spoke to Moses on a thundering mountain, and he kept the people away. And the ark represented the presence of God. That was kept in a holy place behind a thick curtain. There was separation between the people and God. But in his very first sermon that Jesus gave, Yeshua, and he gave it to the multitudes, he sent something totally radical to that and to us. Something that blew people away to a degree that we'll never fully understand. Something that was a thundering message that they've never heard before, that the days of distance and rules were over and the days of relationship with God had begun. The setting was that grassy hill in the city off the Galilee. You could just picture a sky blue, few small clouds, maybe a little wind blowing in the Sea of Galilee, and many people were gathered there. Perhaps hundreds, perhaps thousands, to hear this carpenter from Nazareth speak. And about halfway through this Sermon on the Mount, as we call it, he started teaching about prayer. And he said, okay, guys, this is how you should pray. And the first two words he used were, our Father. And that's when I want to focus on those two words. You need to understand that at that time when those two words were spoken, they were a unique opening line, and the most unique opening line in the history of prayer ever. Our Father. See, when you use a name to make a statement about the nature of relationship, that's what the name is that you have with another person. Names are very powerful. You know, a name expresses the type of relationship you have with someone, how close you are to them. You know, in a formal relationship, you might say, hi, Mr. Walker, Mr. So-and-so, and Mrs. So-and-so. And if it's a friend, you might call them by their first name. If it's a real close friend, you might have a nickname for them. If it's a family member, you might have a pet name for them. I know with my kids, we have pet names for them. They still use them today. Crazy. You see, in the same way, God is both our Father and the Lord of glory. He's the sovereign Lord of the universe. But we must never forget that he desires to have a relationship with us because we're his kids. For example, in Old Testament that used the image of a father to describe God, and it's happened before, but there's no record of anyone coming to pray and addressing him in prayer as our Father when Yeshua did that. In fact, the Aramaic word is Abba. It's like addressing God as Daddy, the God of the whole universe, Daddy. He always called him Daddy. Yeshua did. And this must have blown the people away. The awesome thing is that he invites us to do the same thing. It's unbelievable. There's no more barriers between us. No more thundering mountains, no more veils separating him from us. Just a dad and his kids, us and him. And the question is, are you thankful for having that type of relationship with God? Amen? Are you thankful that the God of the universe, the creator of everything, the King of kings and Lord of lords, came down from heaven, left his throne, and gave us an opportunity to have a personal relationship with him? To hang out with him? To get to know him? One reason we should be thankful to God is that he desires that personal relationship with us. Amen? Second reason is because God is our strength. David's first words of this psalm are, I love you, Lord, my strength. He was a mighty warrior, David. He fought lions and giants and armies. He commanded great armies, yet David knew that God was his strength, and he had known it for his entire life. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 45 through 48, David said this to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom I have defied, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world would know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Are you thankful for that? See, throughout the Bible, we see God's teaching his people to depend on him, trying to get his people to realize we must rest on his strength, not our own. God is trying to get his people to understand that. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit that can move mountains, that seas will part, that walls will come down, that difficulties we struggle will crumble on that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youths will become exhausted, and young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Are you thankful that God offers us strength to those who would wait upon him? Third reason to thank God is because God is our rock. Psalm 27:5, he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Psalm 41:2, I patiently waited in the Lord for you to hear my prayer, and you listened to me, and you pulled me from a lonely pit full of mud and mire, and you let me stand on a rock. Isaiah 32:2, he will shelter Israel from the storm and the wind. He will refresh her as a river in the desert and as the cool shadow of a large rock in a hot and weary land. Another one, Matthew 7:24-25. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise. He's like a person who builds his house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and the torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it was built on the rock. I don't know about you, but I need a rock in my life. I need something firm to stand on. Do you need a place where troubles can't reach you? Do you need something solid to build your life on? God is your rock. Fourth reason to be thankful, because God is our fortress. Now, most of us have seen Westerns. I like Westerns. When they have these forts that protect them and so on and so forth, and they are surrounded by these barriers and fortifications, keeps the enemies out and so on. They protect you and stand between you and your enemy. So in Psalm 125, David writes, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people now and forever. He's our fortress. He's our protector. Our God is all-powerful, and he is the barrier between us and the world, a barrier that cannot be broken. Are you thankful that you have a fort, that you have a place where you can always seek shelter and refuge in? Are you thankful that you have a God who will surround you in order to protect you, both now and forevermore? Are you thankful that God is your fortress? That is a reason to be thankful. A fifth reason to be thankful is because God is our deliverer as well. See, many times God delivered David. He delivered him from Goliath, from Saul, from the lion, from the Philistines, from Abner, even from his own son. Many times David cried out to God for deliverance, and God heard his cries and delivered him. David wrote that in Psalm 18:17. It says, he delivered me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. God was David's deliverer, and God is also our deliverer as well. And if you're here today and you are a believer in Yeshua, Jesus, you've experienced firsthand, like David, the joy of God's deliverance. I remember when I first got saved, I went through deliverance the same day I got saved. God delivered me from what the world had imparted into me. He is our deliverer. See, we're faced with a powerful enemy. It's called sin, whose wages are what? Death. An enemy that was too strong for any of us. We are powerless to do anything to save ourselves. And this is where God stepped in. And the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, says, "You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." And then in Romans 5:8, it says, "God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That blows my mind. While we were still sinners, not that, oh, okay, we're good now, accept us. No, while we were miserable, he found me when I was at my worst. And listen, God's deliverance for his people doesn't stop with the initial thing that he took me through. His deliverance continues throughout our walk with him. Check out these verses in our text. Let's begin back in Psalm 18. Look at verses 4 through 6. It said, "The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." See, David is describing how desperate his situation was. It looked hopeless. Have you ever felt hopeless from a situation you're in, from your enemies, maybe from people around you, maybe from circumstances that you've been involved in that have surrounded you? You're not the first one to feel that, and you're not going to be the last. See, if you're a parent, let me ask you, when someone messes with your kid, what does that do for you? When someone wants to harm your child, does that upset you? Does it cause your blood to boil and the hairs on your neck to stand up? And are you tempted to grab that person? How dare you stay away from my kids? Don't mess with my kids. You know, that's exactly the picture David is painting here in Scripture. David pictures God in his temple in heaven. And all of a sudden, God hears the cry of one of his children. Someone's messing with one of God's kids. And God gets ticked. Verse 6 says, "My cry came before him and into his ears." In verse 7, "The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook, and they trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth, burning coals blazed out of it." Don't mess with God's kids. And God is just not going to sit up in heaven fuming. God is going to take action. Verse 9, "He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted to cherubim and flew, and he soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering. His canopy came around him, and the dark rain clouds of the sky." You see, you got to get the picture that if anyone messes with us and we cry to God, that not only is he upset with that, he's going to do something about it. That's the picture David has painted. God parting the heavens, rolling back the clouds, mounting a cherubim and soaring on the wings of the wind, making his way to deliver us from whatever situation we are in. Listen to verse 12 through 16. "Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies. Great bolts of lightning routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath from your nostrils, he reached down from on high. He took hold of me, and he drew me out of the deep waters." That's our God. That's who he is. That's who delivers us. And I don't know about you, but I get pumped when I picture God not wanting anyone to mess with us, his kids. Don't mess with God's kids. What a picture of God as our deliverer, amen. Are you thankful that he gets mad at our enemies for messing with us? Does that make you thankful? Are you thankful that God mounts cherubim to come to our rescue? That he's so powerful that he simply reaches down and pulls us out of the surging waves and turmoil of our life when you call to him, blowing away our enemies and circumstances with just one breath? Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful that he came down over 2,000 years ago? But it wasn't on a cherubim. He was in a manger. Are you thankful that God, in the person of his son, delivered us from the power of sin? I am thankful. Tell someone next to you that if you're thankful or not for who God, how he delivered you. I could go on all day and give us all this reasons why we should be thankful to God. David just lists a bunch more through this psalm. But I just want to mention one more that is found in verse 28 here. He said, "You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." See, darkness is dangerous. I don't know about you. Try walking through the woods in the middle of the night or driving in pitch dark. I've tried, I don't know if anyone's tried it, when you're driving on a pitch dark and you just shut your lights for a second and you can't see anything. And my biggest fear is when I try to turn the lights on, they won't come on. But it's dangerous to be in the dark. You never know what's up on the road or what you're going to run into. Not only is darkness dangerous, it's kind of scary too. When we take these kids down in East High School through this basement, Frank, thank you for shutting every single light, every exit light when they go through there. I'm teaching them how to walk by faith at their world religions class. They're walking through total darkness, and it is scary. You can't even see the hand in front of your face. But we're teaching them how to walk in faith. So it can be really scary, especially if you're alone, walking in the darkness. You see, before Yeshua came into my life, I was pretty dark. I was living in the darkness of the world. I'm sure we all can say that. We were on some pretty dangerous roads and we were traveling. But I'm so thankful that the Lord brought light into my life and yours. Are you thankful for that? For God's light in your life? So I think I made my case with some of these reasons to give thanks to God. And I don't even have time to mention about your home and your family and your children and your friends and answered prayer and your health and your church and the joy and peace that are all from God. I don't even have time to mention all those things. In fact, the Bible says every good thing comes from above. Amen? Every good thing in our life. So now the second question I want to go through real quickly here is, so how do we say thank you to God? Practically. I mean, we sing it, thank you, Lord, we say it. But how do we practically say thank you to God? How can I say thank you to God? You see, it's very important for us to look at this because many times believers don't give that much gratitude to God, that much thankfulness. And you know, when you don't express gratitude to God, that is really showing him ingratitude. You see, this group, they had no hope. They were outcasts. No one wanted them around. No one would get near them. They traveled around living on scraps of food, sleeping in caves, under a tree. Their life was heading nowhere. And they had a few reasons, if any, to want to go on. And Luke describes this group of people here in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. says, now on his way to Jerusalem, he traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going to a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Only one came back to thank him. Only one came back and threw himself at his feet. The others took their cleansing and ran away. Maybe they thought, sure, it was nice of this guy, Jesus, to do something for us. Maybe it's when it's convenient, I'll send him a card. Maybe I'll give him a call, text him, say thank you. But that sometime never came. Only 10% gave him thank you. Do you think that is the same percentage going on today? Think anything has changed? You think we're more like the 1? Or are we more like the 9? I know sometimes in my life I get so busy I forgot to give thanks to God for something. I'm more like the 9. You know, we God does something and we just busy doing our thing. We are more like the ungrateful 9. I let God down when I do that. It's like slapping him in the face with ingratitude. And when I eventually come to my senses, it just tears me up to know what I've done to God and how I've taken what he's given me and not really shown him that thanks. And I'm confident everyone here intends to always show him his our thankful and always praise him for everything he's done. And hopefully we're not those who turn our back on him and head in the opposite direction, enjoying the blessings that he's given us, but never showing him the thanks for them. So to do that, I want to just share real quickly 9 ways that we can not turn our back to God, but show him thanks. You know, obviously, saying it is wonderful, singing about it is wonderful, but here's some practical things. You can say thank you to God by being more like Yeshua than we are like the world. Psalm 12, 1 and 2, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he's done for you, is that too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will is. We need to be more like him and less like those of the world. Second way to say thank you to God is by spending time with him, hanging out with him. God, he loves it when we do that. He loves when we come to him, not out of duty or out of I need something and so on, but just to spend time with God in your presence. Being so thankful, it pumps him up. These words in Psalm 42 should express how we feel toward with him. Psalm 42. As a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go? When can I spend time with him? When can I meet him? We need to have that desire to want to spend time with him and not show him how thankful we are. The third way to say thank you to God is by praising and worshiping him publicly. Psalmist writes in 35:18, when your people meet, I will praise you and thank you, Lord, in front of all of them. We did that today. All of us, worshiping God publicly in front of each other, thanking Him for everything He's done for us. God loves to hear us sing His praises. You know, and it's not how well you sing, it's why you're singing is what He likes. And that shows Him that we are thankful to Him. The fourth thing, the way we say thank you is through forgiveness, by forgiving. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." God gets pumped up when we do what He asks us to do. When we forgive. I think it's one of His favorite things to hear. "Father, I'm so blown away by how much you have forgiven me that I have to forgive others as well. I have to because I'm so thankful for what you've done for me." This is someone you need to forgive. Show thankfulness to God by forgiving them. Another way is by serving God. We show Him thanks. Matthew 20, 25 through 28. "You know that in this world, kings are tyrants. The officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and give my life as a ransom for many." John 13, 15 and 17. "I have set you as an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." When you serve others, when you serve in the church, when you serve, God hears that as a thank you to Him for how He has served you. Next one, getting to the end here. We say thank you to God by sharing what He's done in our lives, sharing our testimony. Isaiah 12, 4 says, "Thank you, Lord, praise His name, and tell the world about His wondrous love and how mighty He is." See, our testimony, a testimony is not what the lawyer does. The testimony is what the witness does. When you give your testimony, you're not trying to pressure anyone for a decision. You're just saying, "This is what I saw. This is what happened to me. This is what happened in my life." And when we do that, we give God glory. See, no one could do your testimony except you. You're the authority over your life. You don't give your testimony about God. And if you don't give your testimony about God, how He's worked in your life, guess what? It's never going to be told. No one else is going to tell it. See, in all the history, if you don't tell your story, no one will ever know. God says that's one way to give thanks to Him, by telling our story, by telling people what God has done in our lives. Amen. See, God has done some awesome things in you and me. And one way to say thank you to that is to tell others what He's done for you. Psalm 107:2, "Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others." Another way we say thank you to God is by reaching out to the hurting people. Matthew 25:40 says, "I tell you the truth, whatever you've done for the least of these, the brothers of mine, you did for me." Will we reach out to hurting people? Another way is showing thanks is by giving God the best that you got. Don't give Him the leftover resources, or have some crumbs, or your leftover time, or your leftover abilities. Do everything for me, and then if I have some time, I'll give it to you, Lord. Give Him your best, because He's given us His best. Luke 21, 1 through 4, when Jesus was in the temple, He watched the rich people putting their gifts into the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 pennies. He said, "I assure you, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had." And the question we all have to ask ourselves, will we give God our best? last one I want to mention is we thank God
by denying ourselves, that it's not all about us.
He gave us the perfect example in Philippians 2, 3 through 8. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as in Christ Jesus. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to the rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself, even further by dying the criminal's death on the cross. Are we willing to take that mode? Ask our worship team to come on up here now. You see, it's all about loving people and loving God, showing him in us to others. Now, I want you to dial back to that thing, that story I shared with you, and I'm going to end with that, what that means. Remember the old man at the pier feeding seagulls? Well, let me tell you, the man's name was Eddie Rickenbacker. And every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would walk with a large bucket of shrimp, slightly stooped over, onto this pier on the East Coast in Florida. You see, something happened to him in 1942 that prompted this man for the next 30 years to make this trip to feed seagulls every Friday night. 1,500 Friday nights in a row. What would cause someone to do that? Well, back in 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was sent on a mission to deliver a message to General Douglas MacArthur. And he had a hand-picked crew in a B-17 known as the Flying Fortress. He set across the South Pacific. Somewhere along the way, the crew became lost. The fuel ran out and their plane went down. All 8 crew members escaped into life rafts. They battled the weather, the sharks, the sun, but most of all, they battled hunger. And after 8 days, their rations were gone. They ran out of options. It would take a miracle for them to survive. And then a miracle occurred. After an afternoon devotional service they were doing in that raft, they closed in prayer and they asked God for deliverance. And they sang a hymn of praise. The men tried to get some rest. But as this man, Rickenbacker, was dozing off with his hat over his eyes, something landed on his head. He would later say, "I knew that it was a seagull, but I didn't know how I knew. I just knew. Everyone else knew too, but no one said a word. Peering out from under my hat without moving my head, I can see the expression on their faces. They were staring at this seagull, and a seagull meant food if I could catch it." And he did. And the flesh was eaten. The intestines were used for bait to catch other fish, and the crew survived. What was the seagull doing hundreds of miles in the middle of the ocean? Nobody knew. Only God knows. But whatever the reason was, he was there. And because he was there, because Captain Eddie never forgot that seagull for what he did caused them to survive. He never forgot him for 30 years. So every Friday night at sunset on this lonely pier, you could see this old man walking, bent over with this bucket of shrimp and his heart full of thanks to remember that one day on a day long ago, that this one seagull gave his life without a struggle so that all of them could live. Over 2,000 years ago, without a struggle, this man named Yeshua gave his life so that we could live. And we need to remember that. And not only remember that he gave us another chance. He gave us another chance. So we need to fill our buckets
with thankfulness and bring those buckets to him of thankfulness every day, that we can live a thankful life for him. Amen.